Yeah, friends, it is so good to be together for the kind of final week of our sermon series, Goodness of God. We have been trying to kind of connect the goodness of God, the idea that God is a generous host who gives us the good things that we experience in this world, not just forgiveness and life, but all the things that we share together, and kind of connecting that then with this idea of gratitude. And, you know, honestly, it doesn't take a very spiritual person to sort of see and understand the benefits of being thankful. And what seemed like pseudoscience for many years is now definitely very mainstream. There's a group actually at UCLA, it's called MARC, and it's just the Mindful Awareness Research Center, MARC. And they're researching, mapping the brain, and trying to understand the way that gratitude and simply being able to express gratitude affect, like, not just our mental health, but our bodies and the way that we actually interact with the world. And what's so interesting, though, is that as we have become more and more aware of this culturally, this idea that gratefulness and gratitude is really beneficial and helpful to us, what seems to be missing from that conversation is simply, where does gratitude begin? How do we actually step into this gratitude? We just sort of sit down and kind of white knuckle, I'm going to say thank you for things every single day, whether I feel it or not, or kind of do I go on a walk? It doesn't really feel natural. It feels very forced for our culture. And so for us, we started this sermon series with that simple kind of question, thinking about where does gratitude begin? And we had a friend of ours, Pastor John Mitchell, come as a guest pastor and preach that first sermon. And I loved one of the lines that he said that really stuck with me for the last couple of weeks. He said, gratitude has a beginning in time, but forgiveness and repentance have been here all along, patiently waiting for you. You know, I just love that idea that in this present moment, in this time and space, there is this sort of eternal river flowing beneath our feet. It's been there the whole time, and it's been able to be accessed by faith through Jesus Christ, and we are able to experience in time the endless love and forgiveness and acceptance that we have through God. And that's where gratitude really begins in our life, as this sort of free gift of God's forgiveness. And so if we find ourselves having trouble kind of coming up with the emotional capacity to experience thankfulness in our day-to-day lives, a good place to begin is thinking, are there blockages? Are there things that are standing in the way? Are there roadblocks between me and God's forgiveness? Right? Are there things that I can clear out, or I can move over, or I can kind of move around to see more clearly that sacrifice that Christ made and that forgiveness that I experience through him? And that's really what Pastor John then kind of looked at last week, is how do we deepen that experience of gratitude? And it's simply by trying to bring more and more of ourselves into an openness to God's care and God's touch. Are there ways that I am sinning that I want to try and keep from God's sight? Are there ways that he's entrusted me with something and I've betrayed that trust, but I just don't want to really look at it, and it's hard? Or, you know, are there things that he has put in my path to sort of shape and steward and lead, but I'm kind of backing away because I don't want those responsibilities? And the deeper that we experience the repentance that the Spirit brings us to, the deeper we will experience the forgiveness of God in those spaces. And that forgiveness then leads to this outward expression of gratitude. It changes our attitude, not just about the stuff that we have, but it changes the attitude that we have about our entire lives. And only then, when we really experience the fullness of God's forgiveness, right, will gratitude lead to biblical generosity. You see, Martin Luther loved to point this out. I like this. He talked about how genuine faith naturally expresses itself through acts of generosity and care for others. All right. So in other words, like when we're really feeling genuine faith will always express itself naturally in an outward sort of action toward others and serving our neighbors in love. And in 2 Corinthians, the early church is making the same remark, the same connection between gratitude and generosity when it uses the phrase cheerful giver. I don't know if you caught that here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each of you should give what you decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves, and there's the phrase, a cheerful giver. Gratitude leads to cheerful generosity. Now, does God only love a cheerful giver? No, right? God loves an angry giver, too. God loves a giver who gives under compulsion, right? You have to. I can give our kids a dollar, and if I find out that they bought a candy bar with that dollar, right? And here's a little secret. I probably shouldn't say this on, like, you know, Pledge Sunday, but I think we already know what God even loves you when you don't give at all. Don't tell our board of servant leaders that, maybe, but, right? We know this. We can be adults about this, right? This is not what the text is teaching us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God loves each and every one of us, not based on what we do, but based on what he has done and how he has created us and recreated us by faith in his son. But there's a difference between being loved by God and being filled with the love of God. Right? And with this cheerful giving, this light-hearted, joyous, happy giver receives is this gift of being filled with the love of God. But Jesus warns that the opposite of a cheerful giver is also possible. It's also on the table. It's also a path that we could potentially take. And he teaches us this in the parable of the rich fool, where he places before us this sort of rich man who continues to tear down his barns to build bigger ones. In this kind of ongoing way, the earth is producing for him in abundance. And so he wants to continue to sort of keep that for himself and make sure that he's good as he continues to kind of grow older. And so he builds bigger barns. He opens up more accounts so that he can keep his wealth. And God, in this story, comes to him and calls him a fool. He says, "You fool. You know, not only will you not make it to that imaginary place that you're thinking of life, but you will not have another meal. You will not have another drink. Today, your life is going to be taken from you, and what good is all of that stuff that you sort of accumulated?" It's this really kind of stark warning that Jesus gives us. And he's kind of showing us what I think we all know intuitively. It's that it's so natural for greed to lead to an obsession with hoarding all of our things, right, for ourselves. And when we do that, it's amazing how the stuff that we hoard blocks us then, right, from experiencing and participating in the life that God has, not just for us, but for the world, through his grace. We take life easy, we eat, we drink, we be merry, and we're sort of cutting ourselves off from the flow of love that God has, this eternal stream that we talked about of forgiveness and acceptance. And to the one who is rich then towards God by believing, he says, including life and salvation, we're given gratitude that leads us to a completely different place. We're given gratitudes that leads us to sharing our gifts with others. And this is a consistent teaching of Jesus and the apostles. And it's kind of a question that we're sort of thinking about. Will God's goodness in my life, right, of generosity lead out to an abundance? Or will this goodness of God lead to a life of possession and limitation? You know, and I don't know about you, what you hear when we talk about abundance and limitation and giving and receiving, you know, but what I hear a lot of times is sort of that if I give a lot, then I will receive a lot, right? Or if I give a little, then I will receive a little. That's kind of what I hear in this text at sort of first glance. But that's why this teaching is so counterintuitive, and we really need to go into the text a little bit more closely. And I want to look at verse 16 with you from 2 Corinthians 9 because it's so clear to me that we've missed something, right? This is from verse 13, and really 12 and 13 are talking about the same things. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. See, we may receive something back because of our generosity. You know, so often when people give, not just money, but time, when they give their resources, they volunteer for ministries or they open their homes up for Bible studies, there's this feeling of, man, I could just do more of this. I wish I could do more of this because the giving and receiving is so rich. But all of that receiving that we get in our personal lives is kind of in the foreground. It's in the background of what this teaching is really helping us to see. What's in the foreground of biblical generosity, the one who truly receives back based on our generosity, is God himself. Which means that gratitude ultimately leads to the praise of God. But by who? It's by other people. See, we're already praising God because of what he has done for us through Jesus. We have already received everything that we need for the good works that God has prepared for us in advance to do. And now it's time to produce the fruit of those good works for others. Because apple trees don't eat their own apples. Right? Grapevines don't eat their own grapes. The fruit that is produced in our lives because of the goodness of God is not for our benefit, but for others, so that they too may join in the praising of God for his goodness that has been expressed through our generosity. See, my fear for a younger generation who are continuing to sort of walk away from the church is not that they don't believe the teachings of Jesus. Many of them don't even really know the teachings of Jesus. Every generation has folks who walk away from the teachings of Jesus because they don't believe them. But that they are walking away from the church because they don't believe that we really believe the teachings of Jesus. And I am more guilty of that than anyone. We have all received gifts because of the goodness of God. Forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ are all that we truly need. And yet he continues to give even more. He has given us relationships, a richness. He's given us homes in a prosperous nation, difficult circumstances that we have grown through and have shaped us into wiser and more responsible people. He's given us repentant and humble hearts to receive his forgiveness and mercy and to allow it to change our attitudes and our hearts. God is so good. He has planted so generously in my life And I suspect in your life too. And at the end of my life, I don't think I'm going to care very much that I was 6'6 with a decent head of hair and a winning smile. I suspect some of you maybe, we're going to debate whether that, all right, but that's later, yeah. I really do think that what will matter most, and I don't know for sure, but I think that we kind of know this intuitively, we experience it at the passing of loved ones, is the answer to the question that keeps coming back to me during this series, which is, will God be the one who also reaps generously from what he has sowed in my life? Because of what he has done in my life, will the return to him be as generous as what he has planted? Because the word of God will not return to him empty. It will bring a harvest. And today we pray that it is a harvest that began in gratitude, that grew through faith, and that fed and nourished others while we labored with God through generosity. And all of that would happen to the praise and the glory of the one who planted. And so, as I mentioned in the welcome, but I know some of us weren't here for that, so I want to re-mention, today is Pledge Sunday, and this is a day that's really special for us here at Royal Redeemer, and I know churches around the world who are trying to do similar things on this day, where we want to try and bring to the front the pledges that we are anticipating for the next year. And this is especially focused for us around giving as we're trying to create a budget for the 2025 year. But to go along with that, we have developed a gratitude card that we hope will help us to begin, find a place of beginning for gratitude if we're finding it hard to get to that space today. And I would love for you to fill out that kind of gratitude card, write down a few things during the Advent season, then we're going to put those up on the walls in the commons. We're never allowed to tape things to the walls in the commons because it messes up the paint, but we're going to paint so we can tape whatever we want up there. So we're going to tape these up to the walls, and then once we paint, I think we'll tape them somewhere else. But you'll get to see the things that we as a congregation are really grateful for, the ways that God has blessed us so generously during 2024, and some of the ways that we hope God will continue to bless us in 2025, not just for ourselves, but for the world around us. And so with that, I want to pray and kind of kick us into this time of giving. The ushers are going to help us come forward in kind of an organized way, but we're going to place the basket here, and we just want to invite you to come forward and give whatever your normal giving would be for today. And then also, if you have a pledge card, you can place that in there, and also your gratitude card. And use this time as a kind of symbolic answer to that question of what God will do and what your generosity can lead to. So let's pray. Gracious God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we thank you for your forgiveness, for your provision, and for the abundant life that you offer us in Christ. May the gratitude that you plant in our hearts grow into a harvest of generosity that blesses others and brings you praise. We ask that you would use our lives for your glory so that others may see your goodness and they would join in worshiping you. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, and our Lord. Amen.